that's one of the reasons it was hard for people to accept who Jesus was, because they were expecting him to come in military power, military control, or of all things, a political figure. Lord help us if he'd have come as a political figure, but he didn't. He came as a Savior, and that's an unusual way, but we're so thankful for it. I want you to find your place in 1 Luke chapter 2. We're not going where you think we're going this morning. I'll tell you where we're going throughout the day. In the morning service, we're going to be looking at Mary, Did You Know? Beautiful song, but there's some things wrapped in that with Scripture we'll look at this morning. Tonight in the PM service, we are going to be talking about enjoying and not just enduring. You're starting to see, if you're out in public, you're starting to see nerves get just a little frazzled. And you're starting to see people who are just enduring and getting through and maybe not enjoying. One thing, if you know me, one thing that you know about me is I do not like shopping. And my wife and I were together shopping the other day, and that's a bad combination. We do most things together fairly well. A man goes into shop, he knows what he's going for. It's in, it's out, it's done. A woman goes into shop, there's a rack, and she's not leaving until she touches everything that's on that rack. And we were looking for something the other day, and I said, they don't have it. And she said, well, you have to dig through it. And I said, I'm going home and buy it online where they send it to me in the right size. But she got in there and proved me wrong and found it, so we're grateful for that. But you're starting to see people fray. And this is not, tonight really isn't just about enjoying the Christmas season rather than enduring it. It's enjoying life. Because I believe God wants us to enjoy life, don't you? And that's what we're looking at tonight. Greet our young people that are back in. John's here this morning. We're so thankful that he is home. I can't say much about that. And I'm thrilled that Wyatt's home. I can't wait to see him. I've seen pictures of him as he got in with his sisters the other night. And Amy and Dave were telling me this morning that their food bill has escalated. And he hasn't been here 48 hours. He said... Amy said, he said, I'm going to have a second sandwich just because I can. And I'm going to have a second serving of milk just because I can. And I don't have to eat it in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So we were talking about it at home the other day. I'm so glad that he's home, and I'm so glad it's him that has to go back to basic and not us, because they will run it off of him when he gets back. But pray that these fellas enjoy their time back for a little while. Luke chapter 2, we would instantly think that today, on December 20, we'd be in the first part of the chapter. The first part of the chapter is the coming of Christ. It's the birth of Christ. But I want to point out to you how quickly the chapter changes. It's a long chapter. But I want you, if you would, to bring your eyes over, if you would, to about verse number, let's begin at verse number 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now try to begin to put a scene together, if you would, please. Now it's amazing that he's gone from birth in the first part of the chapter up to verse 42, he's now 12 years old, and they have finished the celebration. They're leaving as a group of people, as a mass of people, and Mary and Joseph just simply think he's playing with the other kids as they travel, and they find out that's not the case. Verse 44, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinfolk and acquaintance. They found him not and turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Came to pass after 3 days. Now we're looking at 4 days. Can you imagine Allison Dayton 4 days without her daughter, without knowing where one of her daughters was? I can imagine she would not have the smile on that she has on at this moment. Any of you, any of us, if it was 4 days, I think of that family in Spotsylvania, that young lady that's been missing, was supposed to be making her way out west, and They don't know where she is. Well, that's where this couple is. Jesus is about 12 years old. They had no idea where he is. And then I want you to look at verse number 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, I would like to know what tone of voice she used in this next statement, wouldn't you? Mary, did you know in the next hour? How did she address him? You know, let's read through the rest of this verse. How did she say this? I don't know that I have an answer. Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I think there's some emotion behind the way she says that. And I don't know that I can give you that emotion this morning. Look at verse 49. And it's sort of our springboard for what we want to look at this morning. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And I think this couple is beginning to realize maturity is setting in, and that he did not come to be a child and he did not come to be a baby. There was a purpose. And I suggest this to you this morning. There's a purpose for every soul that is born. And as long as we are breathing, God has a purpose for us. So as we read through verse 49, we see that he is instructing on them on what he is to be doing. Now, I want you to think through with me, if you would. There's some purpose and reason behind our study here this morning, behind what we're looking at, some goals. I want us, first of all, as we look through this lesson, to be encouraged to know that Christ is with us. Christ is with us. The name Emmanuel, God with us. The second thing I want us to do is to know that we can pray for strength in difficult times. And then I want us to be prepared to trust the Lord in everything that he brings our way. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have emotion. Even Christ had emotion. Now, I want to show you that by going, let's go back over together to the whole text, and that would be in Mark chapter 4. And we're coming toward the latter part of the chapter. The first part of the chapter, we need to understand this. Jesus has had some very busy days of ministry. This day in particular had been very busy. He had been ministering, he had been working. We see in the first part of the chapter that the multitude that is listening to him is so large. And if you've ever been in a group like this before, as this group is so large, they are pressing in on the Lord Jesus. His pulpit, his platform is getting smaller and smaller. People are getting closer and closer. Now they may be just within, you know what that place we call personal space? The crowd is pushed into personal space. Jesus actually gets into a ship and they push offshore just a little bit. Now, I know that sometimes we have issue with it, but I am thankful for a microphone this morning. I will tell you this, you don't understand it till you're put in that place. When it comes to the conclusion of a Sunday and you finish speaking three times, you hurt all the way through, even with a microphone. Now, the Lord Jesus did not have a microphone. He's pushed back in the ship, and he is speaking loud enough. He is pushing it out hard enough that this great multitude of people can hear it. So what has that done to him? What kind of condition is he in? And I think we see that as we'll begin reading. Look with me, if you would, beginning in verse number 35. And the same day, important words because of what I just rehearsed to you. And in the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let, and there's words to mark here, okay? Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, and here's a phrase that I have highlighted in green in my Bible. When they had sent away the multitude, here it is. They took him even as He was in the ship. You say, Pastor, why do you emphasize that? Why have you highlighted it? Because I want to know what it is. Here's what I think it is. Jesus is spent. He is spent. He is physically, and I don't say the word wasted lightly. I want to use a different word. He is invested. He has put everything into speaking to this multitude. And look what the scripture tells us. We're not reading between the lines. We're reading the lines. And they took him. I believe that means that they had to help him. They had to escort him. They had to support him. They took him as he was. You say, well, how do you perceive that? What, how do you pick that out? I think it continues to tell us that. Because notice on as we read a little bit further, what is he doing when they get in this boat? Let's keep reading. They took him up even as he was into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there was a great storm of wind and of waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder parts of the ship, what? The same thing a few of you may be, huh? He was asleep. Now notice he's asleep on a pillow. He is, I believe, invested away. His strength is gone. His energy is gone. His vitality is gone. And he is in the ship, in the hinder part, with his head on the pillow, and he is asleep. So much so that we could say he doesn't even... You ever had somebody say, they could sleep through a thunderstorm? Well, Jesus is sleeping through a storm. Now, if you back up, it says that the boat was now full. That doesn't mean full of people. It means that the water has come over and the boat is full. Now, it's fine for a boat to be in the water, but for the water to be in a boat, you're looking at something totally different. And so the disciples are there with him. And the storm arises, and Jesus is entirely asleep. And the disciples, as young people would call this today, and the disciples are freaking out. Probably the same thing your pastor would do if he's in a body of water and the water is now in the boat. They are doing everything they can possibly do. Now understand, these are men who were of the profession. They're accustomed to the water. They've seen storms before. They've had difficulties before. They've handled water before. But something's different about this one. And so they wake the Lord Jesus. And I want you to mark in your mind or in your Bible page what they say to him. And here's another situation that, as we read with Mary when she addresses Jesus, I'd like to hear the voice when they awake Jesus and they ask him this. John was asleep the other night. He fell asleep in the floor. And we're trying to let him get him up and sleep in the bed as long as he can sleep in the bed. And so I was waking him up and it startled him. And he didn't know where he was. And he finally came to and got with it. Well, Jesus, I believe, when you wake somebody out of a deep sleep and to sleep through a storm, he's in a deep sleep. They wake him out of the deep sleep. And here's the question that they throw out. Carest thou not that we perish? Now, I wonder if they leaned over and whispered in his ear. I wonder if they said it with anger. I wonder if they said it with hurt. I can't tell you this morning how they said it. But I know that a human said it, and behind what we say, there is emotion. Carest thou not that we perish? Now I want you to notice we're going through the scripture first, and then we'll give you outline things to fill in your bulletin. The next thing that happens when they wake Jesus, he stands, and I want you to notice a two-part punch that happens as they rouse Jesus from his sleep. And when we come to that part, in verse number 39, "And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still." Notice there are two things that happen. He rebukes the wind, and he speaks to the sea. It wasn't the sea. I know that the waves were up and the water was coming in, but it wasn't the fault of the sea. The sea was only doing what the wind drove it to do. Now, I want you to consider this with me this morning. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And I want you to grasp this if we can. He keeps things in turmoil. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what the outcome would be. And just as Jesus had a heavenly purpose and reason, Satan also had a spiritual reason. And he was doing everything he could to keep Jesus. This is going to sound strange. To keep Jesus from the cross or from dying in that fashion. The wind, I believe, is a direct representation to us of Satan. Satan can keep our lives in trouble. Notice what it says that he did. He rebuked the wind. In other words, he scolded the wind. He said with emotion to the wind. He rebuked it. I'll let you draw what conclusion or what he may have said. But he rebuked the wind. But then notice this. He talked to the sea differently. Because the sea is simply responding to the driving of the wind. And sometimes in our lives, we are simply responding to the driving power of Satan in our lives. And our lives begin to rock and the boat is moving about. And what's outside the boat is perfectly fine, but it's getting inside the boat. And that's not perfectly fine. And we have the tendency to panic when the outside comes on the inside. And Jesus rebukes the wind and then he speaks to the sea. Now, the Gospels, it says, he said something like this, "Peace, be still." In a different vernacular for us, and I saw my grandson do this week. Justin had Remy doing something, and he is to that age that he can get, if you see me this morning, you see this little scratch I got doing my face, he got a hold of me like that. He gets excited, and when he gets excited, he'll go like this, and he'll get loud. And so his daddy is teaching him like this. And so his dad was getting on to him for something. He was getting a little louder, and he's learned to have anger. And Justin, he went to Remy, and he went, "Shh." And Remy looked at him sort of funny, and it didn't take long. Justin started saying something, and Remy looked at him and went, what he was doing, I watched Justin. It's so interesting to watch our boys now being dads. I'm enjoying it. As they enter the terrible twos at 1.5. And we're praying this part of life will last about 4 years. No, just kidding. But when I watched him, I knew where we were this morning. I knew the verse. And Jesus said, "Peace, be still." What's he saying? Shh. Settle down. He rebukes the wind for what the wind is doing. And he calmly whispers, "Peace be still," to the wind. Now let's finish out the reading. "And the wind ceased." Understand this with me this morning before we outline. When God speaks to Satan, Satan has to do what God says. Every time. You say, "Well, preacher, didn't you read the book of Job?" Yes, but I know the restrictions that God put on Job. He knew Job's faith and where it was. And this was a This was a testimony of Job's faith, but it was also going to be a builder of Job's faith. And so we find that as God speaks to, the Lord speaks to, and the wind ceased, and notice this, and there was a great calm. Some of you have been brought up maybe around a body of water or such, and you know that after the storm, when the hurricane comes through, 2 days before, the tide begins to rise. And then the winds come and the driving rains come and those hours where everybody hunkers down and locks themselves in the building. And then that passes by. And I remember coming out the next morning after we had one of the big hurricanes that came directly through here. And all the devastation was back this way. And I remember coming out of the parking lot and debris being everywhere. But the sun was out bright and shining and the birds were singing, and you would have never known. And it was less than 12 hours after we were all hunkered down and hunkered in. We know that if you go to the sea, you go to the ocean at that time, the water for days, the waves, the surf is hard. And you'll listen to a report for boaters, and they'll say, instead of being 1 to 2 foot waves, the waves are at 4 feet because the water keeps going. So there's another amazing thing that we see here. When the Lord rebukes the wind and then he speaks to the sea calms and it just goes back to just like it was. You say, boy, this is a strange Christmas lesson. No, this is who Jesus is. Now, I want you to notice with me, if you would, let's take some note this morning of some things that we need to see as we look together at some realities. Number one, the reality of storms. The reality of storms. You see, I say all of that based on what we read. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, the purpose, the reason. We read from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 37. So, we have the reality of the storm. The reality is this. They can be unpredictable. This particular region, I don't want to go into the geography and the science of it very much this morning. This particular area is the body of water is surrounded by mountains. And very quickly, storms could come in. And just by nature of the way this is made, there was a circling wind that would come in. And it could come in at the drop of a pin. Now, understand this morning. You know this. Let's just be honest and admit it. There are things in our lives that happen that have been unpredictable. Not making light nor major of it either one. But yesterday afternoon, I got a text from Mom that simply said this, call me. Now, when my mom texts me and says, call me, I know something's wrong. So I immediately got to where I could call her and I said, is everything okay? And she said, no. And I said, I'm on my way. I didn't know what all, but I said, I'm on my way. Suddenly, plans change. We had other things that we were looking at and thinking of, and all of those go by the way. Why? Because, life is unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. Storms are unpredictable. That's the reality of the storm. Notice with me, if you would, too, the reality of the storm. They can be unmerciful. They can be unmerciful. Now, you know that there have been times in our weather systems, there have been years where we'll get one time bad weather and the rest of the winter is fine. But I remember a couple of years where we got hit and then hit, and then hit. I can't remember if it was 80 or 81. But we got hit with more snow that year than I remember in all my life on the East Coast here in Virginia. I remember Alden Arrow, and some of you have been alive and around here long enough to remember his voice. And he said this one morning. He said, I'm looking out over Richmond, Virginia, 18 inches of the most beautiful snow flurries I have ever seen. And that's what they were calling for, snow flurries. Well, we were out a few days, long enough for all of us to be excited about it. Then the snow wasn't all that pretty anymore. It was tracked on and it melted down. So we're thinking we're going back to school the next day. That evening, it came in again. And we got another foot. And that wasted away a little bit. We were out another 6 months. We were really running out of bread this time. And just a few days later, it hit again. Long story short, four times in a matter of 7 or 8 days, we got hit. And I remember them saying, and I was probably 18 at the time, I remember the newscast saying this when it had to do with the weather. Because actually, we were wanting to go back to school at that point. It wasn't for English class. It was canceling out ball season, and that's what it was all about. But I remember the weather fella at that time, he said this, "We are being hit unmercifully with winter weather." Well, the reality is this, we know that storms are unpredictable, but sometimes it seems like they are merciless. We get hit and we get hit and we get hit and we get hit. That's the reality. Now I want you to move with us, if you would, to number two. And that is the request of the fearful. The request of the fearful. Notice they request his attention. As you go through trials, you can find joy in knowing that your Heavenly Father will be with you through the storm. So if you need proof of that, go back and read the verse again. He said this, "Let us go to the other side." Now let me quickly point this out. Christ did not put the disciples in a place where he himself was not willing to go. And God will never put you and I in a place that he is not willing to go with us. He put Daniel in the lion's den. But he had already gone there. And the lion's mouths were closed. One of my favorite Bible stories is the Hebrew children. Not because they got thrown in, and not because they came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. That's an amazing miracle in itself. The part that I think is incredible is that the heathen king looked into this fiery furnace and he remembered and said, "Didn't we cast three in? I see four." Now, God was already there in the furnace for them. I imagine, can you imagine they have them bound hand and foot and they throw one in? He doesn't know because he's used the word if. He said, "If God will spare us, he will." He doesn't know what's going to happen. They start to throw. I think he screamed. I think he landed in this furnace and I think he was screaming. And then you know what he realized? Hey, this doesn't hurt. I'm not burning. And he rolled over and started to get up. And there the Lord is with him. But I think it's amazing that the wicked king, the heathen king, looks in and says this, "Didn't we cast three in? I see four." And the fourth, he says, the fourth has the appearance of the Son of God. How'd he know what the Son of God looked like? I say all of those things to tell you this morning. Even though storms may be unpredictable and unmerciful, God is always with us. He will not send us anywhere. We can go through with Moses and Abraham and Ruth and Naomi and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph. Imagine Joseph when the angel appeared unto him and said, "Listen, the woman that you're engaged to is already pregnant." That's a little bit of a storm. Imagine Mary when the Lord Jesus came to her and said, "You're highly favored, you're chosen." Nobody believed them. Walking down the street of the town is going to be hard for them, but he was ever with them. Notice the request. They request his attention. Then notice with the fearful request, they request his help now. It's a beautiful thing to God to see his children humble enough to ask him for help. That's the tone of voice. Remember, I told you, I'd love to know what tone of voice, "Carest thou not?" In one part of me, I want to think it's anger. carest thou not that we perish? You're over here asleep. But in another part of me, I think it's a very compassionate way of asking for help. So they're asking him for help. The request of the fearful. Now, notice number three with us, if you would, this morning. There's the response of the Savior. And we've covered this just a little bit. There's the response. Notice that the angel, when he spoke to Joseph and said, this woman you're engaged to is with child. Notice how Jesus responded. And how the angels responded. Fear not. The shepherds we looked at last Sunday morning, out on the silent night, which became a very turbulent night, because out of the quiet is shattered by this booming voice of an angel. Mary's life, Elizabeth's life, Zachariah's life, all of these lives were changed. Notice that he rebuked the wind. He spoke with authority to the winds, and they obeyed. I think the thing for us to take from this morning is God treated Mary no different than he will treat me. God treated Moses no different than he will treat me. And God treated the disciples no different than he will treat me. And if he rebuked that thing, that wind, which caused the turbulence, then for me in my life, he will do the same thing. Because God is no respecter of persons. I don't know how many of you do this in your life, but here's one of the things, and Sonia and I were on the phone back and forth a little bit, even yesterday, we're trying to finish things up. Our Christmas is early because of the way that the kids are going about and John being home. And so tomorrow is our Christmas Eve, and Tuesday morning will be our Christmas morning together. You say, do you like that? No, I don't like that. It's just the way it has to be. So we're finishing things up, and we're calling back and forth and said, okay, and here's the conversation. Do we need anything else for this one? To even it up with this one. You've been there. And you know that what you're looking at is you're looking at, I know what dads are looking at. They're looking at the bottom dollar line. We've spent, you know, $48.96 on this one. We spent $47 on this one. So we need to spend $2 and something more to bring this one up. Moms are looking at it. Okay, there are 5 packages here for this one. There are 3 packages here for this one. This one has to have 2 more packages to open to get this evened up. We spend so much time. And I'm set. That's not a bad thing. But we do that and God does that. Because God's no respecter of persons. He treats his children equally. Notice the response of the Savior also. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the sea. And then notice, if you would, also the response of the Savior. He challenged the disciples. After he rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea, he addressed the faith of the disciples. And I think sometimes we make the same mistakes in our lives, in our storms. In coming to our point and place of maturity, I think sometimes, notice what he says to them. Not little faith. He says, you had no faith. No faith. But when they demonstrate a little faith, what was the little faith they demonstrated? Waking him up. When I demonstrate a little faith, God responds in a great way. Let's stand together if we can, please. Choir, make your way quickly over to the other room. Doors open so you'll be able to have good access and get straight in. Let's be dismissed in prayer this morning and be back in church here in about 7 or 8 minutes. Brother Cusera, would you pray for us, please?